Fork Tales, a podcast that feeds ideas to the food and beverage world. Fork Tales is brought to you by Vigor, a branding and advertising agency focused on the restaurant and hospitality industry, and by Quench, a food and beverage advertising agency that specializes in evolving iconic food and beverage brands. Learn more, visit vigorbranding.com and quenchagency.com. If you love what we're serving up, please give Fork Tales a 5-star review on your podcast service of choice. Think of it as a tip for good service.
Hi, and welcome to Fork Tales. Today we're joined by Stephanie Yeager, a trailblazer with over 35 years in the restaurant industry. As president of LDEI, Stephanie champions women leaders in the restaurant and hospitality industry. She's also the learning and development specialist at Joey Restaurant Group, where she designs training programs, fosters cohesive work environments. Stephanie, thank you so much for being a part of our show.
Thank you for having me.
So, all right, before we get started, I tried to pronounce the name of your organization. I know a lot of people call it LDEI, I think for good reason. But you want to explain the pronunciation, where it comes from, and a little bit about what it means?
Sure, absolutely. I'd love to. So LDEI stands for Les Dames d'Escoffier. Translated literally, it means the ladies of Escoffier. The name signifies the organization. It's sort of our commitment to excellence and leadership in the culinary arts and beyond, as inspired by Escoffier. The international part of it signifies our whole organization. We're like the umbrella of 42 chapters around the world.
Very cool. Yeah, I saw you have like 2,800 members. Is that right?
Yeah, just about. Not quite, but we're pushing it. We're pretty close.
Well, with you as president, I'm sure you're going to get it over the top there. Maybe we'll go to 3,000.
That's what we're working on. So the more the better.
What drew you to LDEI and made you want to lead it? Like, how did you get involved in all of that? Tell me your story.
Well, my background is obviously restaurant industry, and I was invited to join the organization actually a little over 20 years ago. So I joined, I'm based in Canada, so I joined the British Columbia chapter and worked at the chapter level. So I worked with the scholarship committee, I worked on InReach, sort of all of those sides of it. I became the president of the chapter and then decided that if I was going to be committed, I kind of needed to join the international board. I joined the international board sort of with the perspective of being that person that could speak with an outside the US perspective. Again, being Canadian, our membership is predominantly American from the United States, but we do consider ourselves an international organization. So I sort of wanted to be able to, you know, put my two cents in from outside of the US. Originally I wanted to just be part of it, sort of have my voice heard. But I kind of, with some amazing mentors and some encouragement, I kind of realized that I either needed to step up or step aside. So here I am, stepping up.
Good for you.
And excited, there you go. I'm excited about it.
It's like fight or flight, right? You decide
exactly.
To fight, you're staying in it.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Good for you. That's
exactly.
Excellent. So, I mean, I did some research on it, and it was started out as a guy's organization, right? So it started out, can you talk a little bit about the origins and then how it became, you know, into what it is, what you're heading up now?
Yeah. So Escoffier is obviously a man. The Friends of Escoffier was a man's completely male group. Carol Brock, who was one of our founding members, wanted a seat at the table. She wanted to have her own organization. She didn't think that women should be excluded from the table. So she got together with some of her very powerful, wonderful women friends, and we started this organization. And now, over 35 years later, just under 2,800 members, 42 chapters, and growing.
That's awesome. And you're in several countries. I know you're in Canada, obviously. You said U.S., but where else are you guys located?
We are in London, in the UK, and then also we actually just started a chapter in Florence, Italy as well, and Mexico. Essentially focused in Mexico City. But yes, we are in Mexico as well.
Very cool. Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting because the numbers kind of speak for themselves when it comes to the importance of empowering women in the restaurant world. I mean, women now hold 5% of the CEO positions in the hotel industry, despite being half of the overall workforce. In the United States, only 25% of the chefs are women. So it's kind of a, I mean, there's a need.
It's an uphill battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have some new things planned, you know, for your organization in 2025. There's an event in April called the MFK Fisher Symposium for Women Food and Storytelling. What's that all about?
So MFK Fisher is a food writer. She was very influential to a lot of our members, just in what she was able to accomplish and what she did. So as a group, we've always sort of honored her, I guess I'd say. And this event is just an opportunity for us to gather from all fields of journalism, food writing and media, PR, and more, from across all sort of channels of that aspect, sort of, you know, from the print, from digital audio, and come together for an intimate 2-day event in Nashville. It's an opportunity for an event that, you know, hopefully we can inspire women. We can connect, and we can lift each other up, support each other in sort of in that field. It's a specific, LDEI as a whole is much more diverse than just the writers. But this is just an opportunity that we can focus on our writers, but also focus on women that want to get into the writing side of it. I think we have a lot of creative members that like that next step. But we're incredibly excited. We have some amazing speakers. Ruth Reichel will be our keynote. And, you know, Toni Tipton Martin is also going to be there to share her wisdom. So we're really excited about it.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, I mean, clearly there's a need for the organization, you know, LDEI. But what can like decision makers or owners of hotels and restaurants do to make changes? And how can your organization help assist that? I mean, you know, how do you help these organizations, or how do you bridge that gap? And clearly there's a gap.
There is. I think to me, the biggest thing is you have to see it to be it. You have to see somebody in that position. You know, I would encourage anybody in the industry to put a woman in that leadership position, so that somebody younger can see themselves there too. I think that can be said in a lot of genres, a lot of sort of different fields. That you know, if you can see yourself there, then you can put yourself there, and you sort of want to get there. One of the biggest things for me, I think, is the mentorship side of it. Having leaders that are there to listen, to, you know, that it's not just, you know, it's not just a woman that's, you know, sitting in the C-suite and able to, you know, you can see it, but to be able to access that woman, to be able to hear her story, to be able to realize that she is, you know, a person. She can be a mentor. She can be you, or you can be her, I guess.
I mean, it makes total sense. You know, so in our world, like I'm the CEO of a holding company of advertising agencies and been in this industry all my life. And, you know, I started the first agency 33 years ago, which was Pavone. And we have an agency that's Vigor, that's restaurants. And we have an agency that's Quench, that's food and beverage CPG. So lots of food, lots of restaurant. But our industry has always, you know, had women involved. And so women leaders in our industry are extremely common. You know, and more than half, I'll say, I think, I don't know that it's more than half of our census, but it's pretty close to, if not more than half our census is women. So I guess, you know, I guess I just assume that that's like that across all the industries, but obviously it is not. And, you know, it's kind of, that was a little surprising to me to see these numbers. It was absolutely surprising.
Yeah. And I think it is, it's a bit, you know, we still see the chef in the kitchen as being a man. And until we can kind of change that, and it's not even necessarily our leaders, it's sort of the middle. It's very easy, I think, for the general manager or the executive chef to say, look, we want a woman in the kitchen and you're going to treat her like an equal. And, you know, but then it's an executive chef. So he's not in the kitchen anymore, you know, in a hotel situation or something like that. He's not necessarily right in the kitchen. But then the chef de parties are like, well, you know, they're not seeing that in action. They're just kind of being told what to do. And I think that's where the mistake happens, is having the chef sort of stand there and say, like, look how good she is. Look how, you know, she's the same as you. She's as capable as you. And we're not necessarily getting that. And we need to get that. We need to make sure that women are not only in the kitchen, but treated with respect and equals.
Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of funny because you're saying women belong in the kitchen. Like when you say that, it almost feels like you know, that's like the opposite of what you normally hear.
Totally.
That's funny. So I'm sure there's a lot of women in the industry, though, that are breaking barriers and redefining like what leadership looks like. Is there anybody you can think of offhand or any examples of that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think every time I see a woman in the industry, she's breaking a barrier. She's there to, she's showing that it's possible. She's there to be seen, not to be seen. That sounds wrong, but you know, she's showing me that I can do it too. So every time I see a woman, you know, every time I see a woman on the Food Network or, you know, I see, you know, just something in the news about, you know, a woman taking over a new position. I think that that's breaking a barrier. It's showing that we can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So, I mean, can you share a story that maybe demonstrates LDEI's impact on empowering women? I mean, like obviously it has impacted your life. I mean, you joined it, you know, you got a lot out of it. You were so passionate. You, as I said, you stepped up. Now, you know, now you're the president. Now you're running this thing. So, I mean, is there examples? I mean, I'm sure you run into stuff all the time where people have really, you know, got a lot out of this.
Well, I think, you know, you kind of look at it from a couple of perspectives. Essentially, we are chapter based. So we have chapters around the world in varying sizes, you know, from 20 members to 250 plus members in New York right now, I think. I think the biggest impact is for me is to see, you know, I know women that got scholarships, you know, as they were going into the culinary or even the wine industry. I know a woman that, you know, was a server at sort of a casual restaurant who had the opportunity to start working in a finer dining restaurant and was really excited about it and got into wine, went and did her WSET with a scholarship from LDEI, from the British Columbia chapter.
That's awesome.
Now she is the head somm at a Michelin star restaurant, you know, and it's awesome. It didn't happen overnight, but it didn't take forever either. And to be able to say like LDEI helped her get there, is just so empowering. And now, you know, to know that she, you know, in the next couple of years could easily become a member as well and be the next person to inspire. You know, and to help provide those scholarships for the next generation or next generation, I shouldn't even say generation, the next woman that wants it. We've also been really fortunate to be able to support women that have a career change. You know, maybe, there's hundreds of examples where women have decided to change their career for whatever reason, or maybe getting into culinary nutrition at a later stage in their life after they've had their children, because they feel like they can make an impact, to be able to support those women with funds that, you know, they just wouldn't have had the opportunity without our support. And I think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah. It's excellent. You know, made me think. A friend of my daughter's, she's out, young lady, she's gone to become a sommelier, and it's really kind of exciting for her. And, you know, I always take for granted that those opportunities are there and apparent, but maybe it's not as much as I guess I'd like to think they are. Well, what advice do you have to get, you know, would you give to a woman looking to break into leadership roles in those industries? You know, you're faced with these statistics and it's daunting, like 5%, as I said. What kind of advice would you have for them?
I think it is daunting, but I feel find a mentor, find somebody that, not even that you can look up to, but you can talk to somebody that is familiar with the experiences of the aspect of the industry that you want to get into. I don't think it has to be a woman. I don't think it has to necessarily be somebody that's older than you. It just has to be somebody that would listen, somebody that understands. I think that is a really important, it's somebody to sort of bounce your ideas off of. Like, am I crazy to go to culinary school right now? To be able to get out of your head and have that conversation with somebody that understands, I think is a really important factor.
You know, that's awesome. You mentioned mentorship quite a bit, and it's obviously the cornerstone of LDEI. I mean, mentorship is super important. And what makes a great mentor? You said just someone that can listen. And do you help facilitate that mentorship?
We certainly try. We certainly try at the LDEI. I mean, I would encourage anybody to reach out, go to our website, find out where our chapters are, see what events the local members are putting on, and go and meet some of these women. And they are there because they are willing to mentor and they have gone through some pretty amazing experiences. And that to me is also mentorship. It's the ability to talk about your experiences in a positive way, not in a, you know, this is what I've done and you'll never get there. Mm-hmm. It's more of a, look what I've done and you can too. And so, yeah, I think that is an important, I think I lost track of what your question was. I'm sorry, went off on a tangent.
No, you did. You know, you absolutely answered it. You talked, you know, it was about the mentorship and you know, how do you get involved and do you guys bring forth members or mentorship through LDEI? And you do. And, you know, yeah. as I sit back and think about it, it does make a lot of sense. Like our industry, again, like, you know, advertising, you can go to school now for advertising, but back when I started, there really wasn't that kind of a thing. You know, you can go for marketing degrees, but not really like roles in an ad agency. And candidly, you know, the best way for us to get those interns would come in, or you'd be mentor, or someone would go into school and be like, oh, I can do this. There's a job like this. And that affected a lot of our folks and how they came into the industry. So the mentorship thing I see is a huge, huge opportunity for your association and for people wanting to get into it or evolve into the industry.
Yeah, and we certainly try. You know, we do provide scholarships and grants to women, to a lot of women, and we do as an organization try and allow those scholarship recipients to have access to our members as well. So it's not just sort of here's your money, good luck, see you in 10 mm-hmm. years. It's, you know, here's an opportunity for you to continue your education, but also we're here, you know, via email, via phone call, pick up the phone, give us a call. Let's go for coffee. How are things going? How is your course load? You know, all of those things. Do you need, you know, can you afford your books? You know, you've entered this. I mean, like we said earlier, becoming a sommelier, it's an expensive undertaking. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's ironic because it sort of makes the wine seem snobby again, but really it's a lot of fun. And it's amazing education that you can really get into it when you start diving in, but there's a cost behind all of that education too.
So. Oh, sure. So you had mentioned earlier that a mentor does not necessarily have to be a woman, right? So like what role do males play, I'll say in mentorship or advancing, you know, gender equality in the food, beverage, and hospitality industries?
I think they can play a huge role. Again, I don't think a mentor has to be a woman. I think it can be somebody that wants to listen or somebody that's able to listen. I had somebody say to me once, the best male mentor is somebody that has a daughter, because I think that's a man that really wants to see women go far as well, because they want their daughter to be there as well. So there's that aspect of it. But I think it's just somebody that you can have an open and honest conversation with. But a man also can, you know, is often the person that's already in that position. So can also be encouraging to sort of say, like, you know, you can do it. And I know you can because you have this, this, and this. But again, it's kind of just that support. It's that ability to have somebody to say you can. I think especially, I don't know if it's true. Obviously, I am a woman, so I don't know necessarily what men think. But I think women tend to take everything on themselves and think that they have to do it on their own, and that they, you know, that they can't ask for help. And asking for help really, again, can come back down to just saying, is this a crazy idea? You know, am I crazy? Mm-hmm. And sometimes just need a mentor that would say, that can be, again, a man or a woman that just says, you're not crazy. Or you're completely crazy, it's, and maybe you should rethink that.
It's funny, like, not funny, but it's interesting because, you know, you just saying that out loud, I'm a father of daughters, right? So I definitely have that empathy or understanding or a desire to see the growth. And I guess putting myself in that position, you know, I started the company pretty young, my first company, and, you know, I didn't have kids then. And as I now have adult children, right? And so I can remember there's points in time where women would come into our company, into our business, and they were the same age as my daughter. And at first I felt really old, but then it was like, okay, wait, you know, there's someone's daughter. Like, it's one of those things, you do want to nurture that. And I guess that was very, instinctively done. I think it was very much for lack of a better word, very like a no brainer. Of course you're going to do that. You know, of course you have a desire and a passion for that. But maybe that isn't normal. Maybe I just got lucky because I had daughters and just understood that, or that was a personal passion of mine. But it's a very important, very, very, very important. And I can see how that would be different in different situations. So what are some of the like systemic barriers that women face in the restaurant and hospitality industries?
That's a big question. obviously, I think that goes beyond the restaurant hospitality industry, but I mean, I think probably one of the biggest ones is unconscious bias. Again, we have that image of the man being in charge of the kitchen. And until we sort of get that mindset that it's a man, it has to be a man, that's sort of a barrier that we have. I don't know, what can we do? Again, provide access to education. Allow a woman to be able to afford to go to the class, to go to culinary school, to go to, you know, to improve her education, and to be role models, I think is something that's really mm-hmm. important too, that we are there to show that, you know, that women can be in charge of the kitchen, that in, you know, obviously the restaurant kitchen is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Are certain countries, I mean, you're a global organization, are certain countries doing a better job of achieving this equality? I mean, and can we learn anything from those countries? Is there any places that you think are maybe doing a better job of that?
I don't think necessarily a better job. I think what LDEI brings to the table is the ability to kind of highlight the differences that we all have. I think that's what I really appreciate about LDEI is, you know, the differences that we all have are what give us our strength. When you put, you know, this amazing group of women together at something like one of our annual conferences, you can see, you know, the differences is what makes us unique. It's what makes our experiences unique and different, but we share in the vision, and the same vision and the same mission. Like we want equality. We want to encourage and support other women to be able to join that space, join our space to be with us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that the differences that each country offers is what gives us our strength. That's the important thing to me.
Very cool. Do you think any of the shows, like the celebrity competition shows that we see now, they permeate, right? They're on all the different networks, all the variety shows. Do you think that's helped? I mean, because I feel like there's a lot of women win, and I mean, do you think that's helped promote that?
I think it helped. I think it does. I think it encourages women to see it, to do it. It does encourage women to kind of say, well, she can do it, then I should give it a try. I do think there is a lot of that. Again, you know, they say when you watch TV, like when you watch, you know, when we were younger and, you know, you'd watch, you know, the Cosby Show to be able to see, you know, a Black family. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a bad example, but you know where I'm going.
I mean, look, we have to see each other, ourselves in the shows, and it allows us to, you know, dream and think and grow. That's awesome.
It allows, you know, when you see a woman winning some of these competitions are crazy. But also when you see the women as judges, you see them being respected for their opinion and being asked for their opinion. Mm-hmm. Though that's really important. I mean, I sometimes wish there was a little bit too much. There was a little less of the reality or not reality of it, but yeah. I'll take what I can get.
you took over now, I think, as president maybe last, at the end of the last year. Is that correct?
End of October, yeah.
End of 2024.
It's only been a couple months. Yeah.
So, yeah. So what are your goals? That's what I thought. So you're just kind of not new into this, but you know, what are your goals for the future? Like, what do you want to accomplish?
Want to get the LDEI brand out there more. I want to not only increase our membership, get more women involved, but I would like to raise more money to support more women. And I want to get the brand name out there for sure. To reach more women, engage more
Very
women.
Cool. If it would be easier to pronounce, it'd be a lot better, but
I know.
<I'm just kidding.
laughs> I know. That's why LDEI.
Change the name of the. No, I'm just kidding.
it's been discussed. It's been discussed. You know, Escoffier has a lot of things behind him too, but I don't know.
Sure.
There's something about tradition there. Carol Brock was an amazing woman, and you know, I think it kind of honors her as well. So.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. It's a really cool story. So before we wrap up, I wanted to take a moment and talk about your day job, what you do the rest of your day. You're the learning and development specialist at Joey Restaurant Group. You focus on designing training programs, front of house teams, and fostering cohesive work environments. And I'm sure there's an awful lot of mentorship going on because that's obviously a passion of yours. Can you talk a little bit about the restaurant group and about your role there and what you're doing?
Yeah. First of all, I would like to point out that I am not the only learning and development specialist. I fortunately work with a team of amazing people right now, predominantly women, which is really exciting for me. Joy Restaurant Group is expanding quite rapidly. We're a Canadian-based company, but expanding quite a bit into the States, into new markets. We just opened in Dallas. Mm-hmm. A few months ago, we're opening another restaurant in California. California, we do have half a dozen restaurants in the area. So it's definitely a market we have, but expanding. So what does that mean for us, for the learning and development team? It means that we need to be more precise in what our teaching is. What do we want our restaurants to continue to look like? And kind of using technology to build that out. I think the typical way that all restaurants are run is you put a body on the floor and cross your fingers and hope it works. Obviously, from the Joy perspective, we don't want to do that anymore. We want our partners, as we call them, to be, you know, ready to go. We want them to have the knowledge that they need to make the experience for our guests as memorable as possible.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, the other part of your work involves building the cohesive work environments. What is that? You know, of course, that's super important, but what does that mean? You know, what strategies have you found to be most effective at making that happen?
cohesive work environments. The biggest thing, I think, cohesive. I think for us, it's a little bit like, make sure you're still having fun. The restaurant industry really should be fun. Not meaning, you know, over the top and being clowns, but still, you know, you have to be able to have a smile on your face and you have to be able to enjoy what you're doing. Maybe don't take yourself too seriously, which I think we all kind of need to remind ourselves sometimes that it's, you know, we're in it together. It's a team effort. One of the things that Joey is really adamant about, which you don't necessarily see at that more casual level in restaurants, is that team. It tends to be more of a formal dining phenomenon, for lack of a better word, is the team effort. But really at Joey, we do push working as a team and how important that team is with you. So again, coming back to engagement, coming back to, you know, working together is really important to the Joy Restaurant Group.
Well, I mean, a good company culture is important in any industry, and it sounds like you're bringing that forth. I'm sure it has. How did LDEI and your training role, how do they help each other? Have you gotten a lot from LDEI that's helped you in your current, you know, your quote unquote day job, or do they influence each other? If you talk about that a little bit.
I think they influence each other in that I am able to show a strong presence for women that I'm, you know, working with at the server level, or, you know, the line cooks that are females, to be able to say, like, there is another step, there is a next step if you want it. And that, you know, there is a place for you if you want to keep going up the ladder, so to speak. I also think, again, my opportunity to have been able to work with great mentors through LDEI allows me to be more conversational with the servers on the floor as well, just to be able to, again, have that conversation with them, to be able to listen to them, to be able to hear what their concerns are, whether we're talking about the training itself or whether we're talking about the individuals that they're working with. To be able to see whether there's conflict going in there and to be able to, you know, deal with it right away and be on sort of that aspect to that, not, so it's not, you're not breeding bad habits, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Stephanie, you were fantastic. And I really, really love your passion. I love what you're doing. It's very, very, very interesting. I have one last question before we go. And I ask this of everyone. If you had one final meal, what would you eat, where, and why? And it can't be one of your restaurants.
I can't plug one of those.
No, you can't.
It's kind of a funny question. I think it kind of comes down to would I be alone for my last meal, or would I have company?
No, sure. You can have whatever you want. You're allowed to have whatever you want to eat, wherever you want to eat, whoever you want to eat with. No. This is not like a death row thing. This is just your last, you know.
It's funny. One of the first things that kind of came to mind, one of the first sort of fine dining restaurant experiences I had years ago, obviously, was at Le Cirque. It was in Las Vegas.
Fantastic.
And we were doing a menu, and I was served rabbit blanquette. And I had never had rabbit blanquette before, and I was incredibly nervous about it as to whether or not I would enjoy this or not. And I loved it. But I, you know, having, Excellent. You know, being young and probably nervous and, you know, dressed up and not used to it. And I just, you know, I'm just slowly eating this dinner and loving it. And just, you know, but slowly the server eventually came over and took it away from me. He said, I'm worried you're going to make yourself sick, because I just was slowly eating it. And he said, there's no way you're going to finish the rest of the meal. So he took it away. And I still, to this day, I'm like, I kind of want to finish that dish. So I think I need to go back to Le Cirque and order the rabbit blanquette. I'm not sure I'm going to have the same experience, but I just feel like I should be able to, you know, how I want to finish my life is to actually finish that rabbit dish.
That's excellent. You know, if we had an award for the most unique answer, I'm guaranteed you would have won it. That was excellent. That was very well done. It's very well done. And you didn't even say you were going to eat it with. You know, at first you were worried about being by yourself. Now you kind of slid right into that dish and locked in. So that's awesome. Well, listen, it was a true joy talking to you. I really enjoyed it. It was very informative. And I wish you luck in your presidency and your career.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you again for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. My pleasure.